All right. Welcome back to A Businessman's Guide to Almost Everything, the show where I, your host, Cole Brzenji, get to sit down with interesting folks from a myriad of fields. We get a look at what they do, what makes them tick, and some of the challenges that they face. With me today, I have someone new. Would you introduce yourself, what you do, and where you're from?
All right. I'm Logan Hilgers. I am the community director at Growing Veterans. Something of importance of who I am too is that I'm a father to a beautiful 2-year-old son. I am a husband to my beautiful wife, Nicole. We just actually celebrated our anniversary this last weekend of 6 years. So part of who I am, I want to put that out there right away because that's of high importance to me. Former school teacher, 21 years in the Army National Guard. I spent time as a food supply specialist and as an artilleryman. Retired from that, but now back to Growing Veterans as the community director. I'm there on the farm, and I would say that I'm doing all the community outreach, business outreach. I'm writing grants. I'm holding space for veterans on our farm to get acquainted with like the resources that we have and the opportunities that we have. Going to fundraising events, planning fundraising events. And that's what I do for Growing Veterans, but I also like to get my own dirt therapy in on the farm as well.
So Growing Veterans, can you tell us a little bit about, well, what is that?
Okay. It's a therapeutic nonprofit farm, and we offer dirt therapy to veterans. And so I guess the best way to kick it off is our mission, right? Our mission is to empower veterans and volunteers to cultivate purpose and belonging by growing food, community, and each other. The vision is to end isolation that leads to suicide.
Mm. So dirt therapy, is that a fancy word for something?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, gardening, farming, but we call it dirt therapy because of other aspects that we bring into it and just the healing nature of getting your hands in the soil and working with plants.
So I'm sure we'll dig a little bit further into that. But first off, how old is Growing Veterans? Has it been around for a while?
2012, it was founded. In 2015, it became a registered 501c3 nonprofit. So 10 years now as a nonprofit, but 13 years in existence.
13 years in existence. So like, what was that founding story? What was the motivation behind it?
So Chris Brown, who actually just, he was our president up until recently. I think he's still serving on our board. But he came back after his service. He was a Marine Corps veteran in the Iraq-Afghan War, Purple Heart recipient. He came back and he was just trying to find a way to reintegrate into society. And he noticed that there was kind of a need there for veterans to get reintegrated into society and to find purpose and belonging. And he and Christina Wolf, a former mental health counselor, she's a non-veteran. He partnered with her and they just came up with this idea of like, hey, if we have this farm, that's kind of like the catalyst, the middle ground, right? Where we can bring veterans together and then we can build that community. We can also offer peer support to one another and then grow all this amazing food and share it with the community.
So this idea of gardening and then expanding into just general dirt therapy. Has this been a pre-existing idea before Growing Veterans, or is this something that you guys just kind of stumbled into?
I mean, from the story, it sounds like it was kind of, you know, groundbreaking at the time in 2012, bringing veterans with PTSD and moral injury to a farm and using it as a healing, what do you want to call it? A healing medium almost. Mm. And so I think there's probably been some other therapy farms out there, but as far as we know, we were kind of one of the first to start doing this.
So it's a functional therapy, but why? Why is gardening something that's so valuable that people who have such severe conditions and PTSD, I grew up with some people with that, it changes the way that they live their life. And because of that, it changes the people that are in their life. They have to live differently according to that. How can gardening and associated dirt therapies be so powerful that it starts to heal that?
That's a really big question. I'm going to try to answer it as well as I can. I'm going to touch on a lot of pieces here. Well, first off, it comes, you know, you have PTSD, whether that's, you know, your moral injury, You know, like a lot of people say, like the hardest wounds to heal are the ones that you can't see. But then you also have veterans coming home, you know, with physical disabilities, losing limbs, you know, function of their body, functions of their body. Some of them are experiencing TBIs. And so, but you get out on the farm, you get your hands in the earth, you start working with plants. When you engage with the earth and the plants, your brain releases serotonin. When you harvest, your brain is releasing dopamine. So some of the stressful events you go through when you're deployed in a combat zone, being awake for 24, 48, 72 hours on a regular basis, working extended hours, always knowing that there's something that could just fall out of the sky and end your day, end your life, and you're just kind of on that high level of anxiety, that high level of awareness, it starts rewiring your brain. And so getting your hands and releasing, you know, those feel good chemicals in your brain, that starts helping people feel safe and open. But also when it comes to gardening, it reduces stress. It helps with strength and flexibility. It helps with your cardiovascular health. And then with the strength and flexibility piece, that's going to help prevent other injuries. And a lot of veterans are coming home with pre-existing injuries or service-connected injuries. It helps with your balance and coordination. So if you get some of our older Vietnam veterans out there and working, that's something they might be looking for. And of course, you're outside. What's something that a lot of people have a deficiency in Washington State? Vitamin D, right? So you're spending that time outdoors. You're getting those nutrients from the sun. Improved sleep, right? A lot of veterans come home. They have trouble sleeping. You're getting that fresh air. You know, then that's improving your cognitive function. Your mood becomes enhanced. You know, there's just so many pieces to it. Sense of accomplishment, right? So when you're out there and you're harvesting and you're working, or maybe you're just putting seeds in the ground, you're sowing seeds, and when you get completed with the task, that's another good moment that you might be releasing some serotonin and dopamine, like you accomplished a task. And that's something the military really gives you, that purpose and belonging. And so I think when you can find that in work like this, it brings you that sense of community, and it's just, you all of a sudden realize this is a healing community. This is a healing environment that I'm in. And so it's just not, but it's just not, you know, what do they call it? The placebo effect, right? It's just not like, oh, I'm just tricking myself into thinking that it's working. There's physiological data that your brain and body are responding to what you're doing and to when you're connecting with other veterans and other people in our community.
I remember reading a study, this must have been a year or so back, but I remember the big headline was that some of the happiest people, or sorry, not happy necessarily, that's the wrong kind of word, but some of the most content people in a society tend to be farmers. It's people who are participating in certain kinds of work that just seem to be intuitive for us. Meanwhile, they contrasted that with people who tended to have the lowest level of contentment were in these high-tech, high-demand, city-based jobs.
Yeah.
And it's funny, there is something to the idea that farming, perhaps it's the wrong language, but it is a natural activity for us. Gardening is a natural extension of who we are as people.
Absolutely. It's connecting us back to the source. Whether you're a believer of science or a believer of spirituality, when you look at either of those, and whatever your belief is, we came from the earth. We've been sustained through time from the earth. So no wonder why when you work with the earth, you're like, man, I feel good. Like, you know, pun intended, you're getting back to your roots, you know, and it's gonna make you feel good because that's where we belong. That's how we sustain ourselves. If we don't have food, we don't have people. You know, if we don't have community, we don't have civilization.
Mm-hmm. And it's always fun whenever you get to meet someone. I got to do a little bit of this because I got into a little bit of gardening it was after COVID. I was going through some immigration stuff, so I wasn't able to work. So I started gardening because I got bored and I panicked. And once you kind of get into that little bit of a community, you find other people that are also kind of like often a little bit amateurish, but they're getting into it. And the kind of passion and interest that it just sparks into people like, oh, you're gardening and you're failing too? Great, I'm gardening and failing too. But every now and then I get this great yield of something. And there's that sense of accomplishment that's so intuitive to the human experience.
Absolutely. And like you were saying, Cole, about, you know, farmers, gardeners are some of the happiest people, or they're living like enriched lives. It's because every day you wake up and you have that sense of hope, right? Let's go check on that seed. Let's go check on that sapling. Let's go see how my blueberries are growing. Let's see, you know, oh, I got to go check on my bees now to make sure that their colonies, right? You have purpose, you have belonging, but then you get that sense of accomplishment when you're harvesting. And so you just have something to look forward to every day. And so I think that's why I think that, you know, they have a prolonged life. While they might have a little bit more of a positive outlook on life, it's because every day they're putting into the earth, into the soil, and then it's giving back to them.
So I know one of the other things that you guys do on the farm, it's not strictly just dirt therapy. You also do, is it fair to say, regular therapy with, I had to look up on your website, right? Because it seems pretty particular, but it's peer support training.
Yes.
Can you expand on what that is?
So peer support training, what we have to offer is just, it's training in how to be an active listener to somebody that's in a state of crisis, but then it's also gives you the skills to validate that person. They might come to you venting or ranting, trying to get something off their chest. And rather than you maybe having a knee jerk reaction and responding, it trains you to, okay, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to hold space for this person and I'm going to let them, you know, get what they need to out, but I'm going to validate how they're feeling. Like, this sounds hard. This is difficult. Please tell me more. You know, then, oh man, I'm sorry you're going through that. And then you can show some empathy of like, oh, you know, just an instance like, oh, you know, my grandmother passed away too, you know, or something like that. So you can connect with them. So it's just about active listening, validation, showing empathy. Because sometimes if you have that knee-jerk reaction, that person is going to shut down and then they're not going to open up. Mm-hmm. And so that peer support training gives our staff, gives our regular volunteers and our board members those skills. So when veterans show up, and it doesn't even have to be a veteran, sometimes it's volunteers that show up on our farm and they're in a state of crisis, they need a safe, warm place to land. Mm-hmm. Because if you have those knee-jerk reactions and you say something silly like, oh, get over it, tough it out, stuff like that, that's going to just push them back into isolation. Mm. And so peer support, it can help you professionally. It can help you personally. And this is something that we were doing. We've done it quarterly before. We wanted to try to get to a place where we're doing it every other month, so 6 times a year. Mm. And unfortunately, some of the funding that we had for our peer support training, we recently lost. And so we're trying to reacquire some of that funding from somewhere else so we can continue to offer our peer support training on at least a quarterly basis. Mm.
So the peer support training isn't something that's specifically for the veterans that are coming to Growing Veterans. It's for the support structure around the veterans.
But it also can be for those volunteering because it is like a level one, you know, user level one kind of skill. You don't have to have a degree in something. You don't have to be like a counselor. It's really just person to person. And it's something that it is so important in our communities and our society to be able to listen to someone and actively hear what they're saying and understand what they're saying. And then finding that common ground. It's all about human connection more than anything.
Do you find that that is, so like coming back to a bit of a macro view to Growing Veterans, because you have the dirt therapy, but is the critical piece that makes it work the fact that people are in community together, these veterans?
Absolutely. You know, and a short sense, you know, we're there to connect, grow, and heal. And when you make those connections, that's how the community starts growing. And I can tell you, you know, my first time I went out to Growing Veterans as a volunteer, I was just looking for connection. I was looking for community. And then I volunteered here and there for about 5 years. And then when, unfortunately, my teaching career came to an end And it was, you know, I was struggling with some of my own mental health, some moral injury that I didn't quite deal with correctly. And I was kind of suppressing because I was a special education teacher working with students with emotional and behavioral disabilities. So I had students who were actively living throughout their childhood trauma. And then they're coming to my classroom and I'm trying to work with them while they're, you know, their unprocessed trauma is coming out in my classroom. Some, you know, mine was bubbling up. And so unfortunately it just worked out where, you know, I just kind of resigned and made my peace that my teaching career was over. But then I had lost my sense of purpose and my sense of belonging. And one day I came back out to the farm, and this time I knew what the farm had to offer, right? And I was that veteran that came out there kind of in a sense of crisis. I've lost my purpose. I've lost my belonging. I reached out to people for help that I worked with, and it seemed like they weren't interested in helping a veteran going through this type of crisis. I think they were worried about what does happen if a veteran, you know, has an episode or has a tough time. And it was, that was really hard for me because it was like, you know, I started thinking, were they thinking that I would hurt someone? Because here's the sad part, Cole, is most veterans who run into that type of situation, there's only one person they end up hurting, and that's themselves. And so I got to come out that spring in a sense of crisis to the farm, and I instantly had 5-6 veterans who had all been to that peer support training, right? There to listen to the tough times I was having, to validate my frustration, my confusion, my sadness, my displacement. And then they showed me empathy, and I started coming out to the farm then weekly, which then turned into, you know, me becoming employed by the farm, you know, 6 months later.
Only 6 months.
Yeah.
Man, that must have been an eventful 6 months.
It was, and it was great because I wasn't working. I was just volunteering at the farm, and I was spending a lot of time with my son, who wasn't even a year old at that time. So, you know, I finally had a kind of a chance to stand back and just kind of have growing veterans to lean on as I was going through my healing journey and trying to figure out, oh, what am I going to do next? What's my next purpose? And what's my, you know, where am I going to belong to? Little did I know that, you know, growing veterans was going to be the place for me.
No kidding. So growing veterans, it's a farm, grows its own materials. It's got all these support structures for the veterans that are coming there and spending time in community. But that's still resulting in a lot of food being produced.
Yeah.
So what do you guys do with all that produce?
Well, we're on pace to, I think, harvest 5,000 to 7,000 pounds of all organically grown produce. Over 90% of it, we donate to local food banks. And so the Ferndale Food Bank, Nooksack Valley, and Maple Falls Food Bank are the three primary food banks that we give our food to. Maple Falls Food Bank, they reached out to us directly, and they kind of told us, hey, this is what we need. Can you grow this? So that's what we're doing right now for the Maple Falls Food Bank. We also have a variety of greens and other vegetables. And we just kind of reach out either to, you know, Ferndale or Nooksack and be like, hey, do you have a need for these things? And if they say, yeah, we're like, okay, we're going to harvest and we're going to bring it to you. And so one of the other things that we do, some of the produce that we don't donate, plug that we make our own hot sauce. We partner with El Fuego, a female pepper sauce company out of Bellingham. And we grow the jalapenos, the serranos, the garlic, and the honey, right? We have bees out there. We're collecting honey from the hives. So those four ingredients go right into our product here. It's called Fire in the Hole. We're hoping to expand the amount that we make this year and hoping to get it in the storefront just to do a little extra fundraising. But that's a really fun project. And we're hoping to maybe partner with some other, you know, food processing or food organizations, you know, to try to make some more products because it's something that our community really enjoys.
Mm-hmm. And I know specifically to Whatcom County, I can think of one specific not-for-profit that's gone that exact route where they're creating all these food stuffs that they're then selling in stores. And Whatcom County's really come together and really does support these not-for-profits when they're doing stuff like this. I know I'm thinking of like Lydia Place specifically. They have hot sauces. They got chocolates and they're killing it. It's doing great. So, okay, let's keep talking about growing veterans and what the day to day looks like. So you're obviously a special case because you work there.
Yeah.
But if someone's coming into growing veterans as someone who's come off tour, they're looking for a place to connect with other veterans to just unwind, what is their day to day going to look like if they're volunteering?
Just on a normal day of volunteering, you know, it's just, they're just going to jump right into what we're doing. You know, like sometimes it might be weeding garden beds. You know, that's not the funnest thing, but it's kind of funny how just 5-10 minutes into it, they'll start chatting and opening up about their service, or they'll be asking questions about the other people they're working with. And so there's sometimes, like right now, it's great though, because we have a lot of harvesting going on right now. And that's kind of the funner time. So like right now, if you came out, there's probably gonna be some greens to trim and harvest. We also have 15 egg laying hens. So we might, hey, one of the first things, let's go check the water, make sure the chickens have water, make sure they have feed. Let's see if there's any eggs in their nest. So they're just gonna jump right into the routine that our program manager, our program director does. He's kind of our farm manager, or we have a farmhand, a VA intern technically. He's out there all the time. And so sometimes we'll just take them along, you know, hey, you're just going to go with them and you're just going to be doing the daily chores of the farm. However, on Fridays, though, we also have a coffee check-in. I always want to say shout out to Woods Coffee, who sponsors our coffee check-in. They give us a couple jugs of coffee. And so that's a space where if you volunteer on Fridays, you're going to show up and you're going to find anywhere from 10 to 20 veterans sitting in a circle. And it's we call it a check-in, but really what it is like we're holding a peer support group. And so then we give everyone an opportunity to introduce themselves, talk a little bit about their service. And then we ask them, tell us one thing that's going well in your life. And then can you tell us something else that's maybe going a little rough or challenge that you're facing right now? Because 9 times out of 10, the problem or issue that you're facing in that moment, there's another veteran sitting in that circle who is going through the same thing or has gone through the same thing. And so then all of a sudden now you have common ground or a connection to another veteran who's there, and they can also possibly offer you advice, or like, here's a phone number for someone that, you know, can help you with this. So you come out there sometimes just to volunteer, maybe get your hands a little dirty, but you come away with resources, you're coming away with community, and you're coming away with a sense of belonging.
So one of the things I know we talked about in the past, because you guys invited me out to the farm, and it was really cool to see what it was, but you had made reference to something that I had heard other people talk about, and that within the veteran community, that great big swath of people, you do kind of have little cliques every now and then. You have people that served in Vietnam, then you have people that served in this theater, and then you have people that served in this time. How does the community look like at Growing Veterans?
Oh, man. I can tell you that this is the most seamless community I've ever been a part of. You know, I see there's a strong connection between the global war on terrorism vets and the Vietnam era vets. But then you have vets coming out there that are non-combat veterans. And a lot of them are, you know, come out there and they're like, oh, I never deployed. But we knocked that crap right down. We're like, that doesn't matter. Like, you signed on the dotted line saying, if my number gets called, my name gets called and I got to go, I'm going to go. And that's all that's what means the most to us, is that you were willing to put your life on the line if someone asked you to do so. And so that's something that just doesn't exist there. You know, that's not like, oh, you got your Marine veterans, you got your Army veterans, you got your Air Force veterans or something like that. And they all kind of have their pockets of people or something. It's seamless. And it's such a beautiful thing, because everywhere I've been outside of the military, like, has those cliques. And it's just like, well, you know, why? We're all coworkers, you know, we're all part of the same community. And it just doesn't exist out there, you know, because we're all out there, you know, to find community and to improve the quality of our lives. And so when you're really focused just on the people and, you know, helping them grow and heal as a person, as a veteran, you know, the other details are insignificant. Mm-hmm.
So can you walk us through, like, how does Growing Veterans compare to other veteran societies? Like, does that community cohesion, is that really the biggest standout quality?
I think so. Absolutely. I've been on my high horse recently saying that everything you need to heal, you know, emotionally and socially can be found in a healthy, cohesive community. When you have a community that's split, whether it's due to religion or politics or whatever, you know, current event can be thrown down to divide a community, it's just not there. And I don't know if it's if it's coming from the mission and vision that we have, if we're on sacred ground out there or something, but it's like nothing I've ever experienced before.
It is interesting, and perhaps it's not wholly applicable, but I always remember those studies that they've done with rats where, you know, they're social scientists, and so they do weird things to the rats, but they'll get some of them addicted to meth. But the moment that they take these rats that are addicted to all sorts of substances and they put them in a community of other rats, if they are able to socialize into that community of rats, oftentimes they drop the addiction entirely, regardless of how long or how intense that inclination was.
Oh, absolutely. One of the big things that's going on our farm right now is we're seeing more and more veterans getting sober. So like your example of the rats is right on. You know, a lot of veterans come home and one of the things they battle with is substance abuse, right? And so it's our escape, you know, whether, you know, it's hard drugs, alcohol, what have you. But we're finding more and more vets that are coming out there that talk about their substance abuse issues. And then they're finding some of us out there that are just clean and dry. And they're, well, how? You know, can you help me? Or how did you do this? And so we're trying to build those support systems out there to help some veterans. And we have some veterans that are just have completely changed their entire lives by just putting the bottle down, by putting the needle down, by putting the pill down, whatever their vice is, or getting it out, or helping them get it out of their hands. And they're finding that, you know, that belonging in that community. And it's almost like some of them are getting addicted to growing vegetables and to harvesting and helping the community.
Okay. So I know we only have a little bit of time left, but I got two questions that I really want to ask. So the first one is, how do you measure your success? Do you guys have moments where you realize like that person just made a breakthrough?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think there's probably three people in the last 6-7 months, within the last year, maybe, three people that we probably have saved their lives, and they have said it straight to us. I don't think I'd be here if you guys weren't here. And so, I mean, that's the ultimate, I think, trophy, of success is we're saving veterans' lives, right? 22 plus veterans are dying by suicide, every day. So any life that we can save, and there's probably some people who were headed down that path that haven't said anything, you know, they have found their belonging here now. And sometimes you only see veterans every few months because maybe that's all they need, is they need that outlet just every few months to remember, oh man, I'm not alone. Growing Veterans is here whenever I need it. And so I think other than that is, you know, we weigh out how much, you know, produce we grow and stuff like that. And there is some success to that. But to me, it's changing changing the trajectory of veterans' lives.
That's a great way to word it. Okay, so last question. Growing Veterans, you guys grow food, but you give away a lot of it. So how are you guys supporting yourselves?
So we write a lot of grants. You know, that's a lot of thoughts and, you know, prayers there. But we do business outreach. We have some recurring donors. And that's something that we're reaching out to our communities now. And it's kind of a pitch that we have right now is this, like, pay $5 a month, right? Would you sit down with a veteran and buy him a cup of coffee once a month? And if your answer to that is yes, you know, we ask you, well, maybe you can just put that $5 towards our mission. And then if you really want that coffee, come out on Friday and do that coffee check-in with us, meet our community, see the difference that you're making with just $5 a month. And so that's something that we're really hoping to improve, is that recurring, the amount of recurring donors that we have, because we feel like getting the community to contribute like that just kind of can be the heart and soul of our funding, and it can really empower the veterans that are there. And it's not a lot that we're asking for, and it's just then we're not asking businesses that are out of the community for money. It's just the community supporting itself.
That's great. Well, Logan, where can people find you?
Well, they can find us out on the Guide Meridian. We're like right in between Linden and Bellingham, 6458 Martin Place. You can also find us, though, on the internet at www.growingveterans.org. And then look us up on Facebook and Instagram. Just search Growing Veterans. We're the one and only. You'll find us and you'll see everything we're up to. Then if you're really wanting to track what we're up to, if you visit our website, just sign up for our newsletter. We push that out every 2 to 3 weeks. You can kind of see what we've been up to the last 2 or 3 weeks and what we're going to get into the next 2 or 3 weeks.
That's brilliant. Logan, thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time, Cole.
Yeah, I know we got you coming back for at least one more recording, but you guys won't get to find out what that's about until the episode's released. So don't be nosy. All right. Well, thank you, folks, for joining us this week. We hope that you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. We will be back, and Logan, along with a partner of yours, will be talking more about what Growing Veterans has got in store for the future. So until then, take care and be well, everyone.